Well, we know what it's like to feel worried and helpless about the state of our world.
But we're finding comfort and inspiration from people tackling winner-take-all economics and other root causes of climate change, inequity, and global unrest.
Join us on the road from wasteland to wonderland. This is Pot of Gold.
Please keep in mind that these recordings may not be as high quality as they usually are because we're doing them in a time of social distancing.
This week on Pot of Gold, we are speaking with someone who isn't afraid to ask the big questions. Dr. Pierre Luigi Luisi is a professor of biochemistry who centered his career on answering perhaps the biggest question of all. What is life?
In 1970, he became professor at the ETH Zurich. And since 2006, he is part of the biology department at the University of Rome III. In the late 1980s, Luigi participated in the foundation of Mind and Life with Francisco Varela and the Dalai Lama.
In 1985, Luigi founded the Cortona Week, an international summer school focused on interdisciplinary exchange between the sciences and the humanities. Through Cortona, Luigi is fostering a new class of leaders versed in the frontiers of science, ecology, ethics, and spirituality.
In Luigi's view, the expansion of the mind and heart offered at Cortona is vital to tackling the multifaceted problems we face today. Listen in as Luigi shares the journey that led him to the founding of the Cortona Week and the importance of interdisciplinary education today.
Let me say, I graduated in chemistry in Pisa, the Scuola Normale, and spent a few years postdoctoring around from Soviet Union to Eugene, Oregon, to Sweden, to China. But then settled in Zurich, at the ETH Zurich, which is considered the MIT of Europe. ETH stands for Eidgenössische Technische Hochschule, and the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology. Many Nobelists and, you know, many important people there. And there I, due to a series of personal contingency, I decide to set my working aim in one question, the famous question, what is life? Because this question is not only important from the scientific point of view, evolution, origin of life, Big Bang, but it also has an importance from the philosophical point of view. Life, non-life, is life only chemistry? And from the spiritual point of view, life, consciousness, you know, God, non-God. And so I kept my working based on these three legs of science, philosophy, spirituality. And these, I think, a posteriori, I was not aware of that, maybe when I was in the middle of the way, but that these three legs helped me considerably in finding an equilibrium. And the Cortona Week, which I consider probably the best action or the best thing of my life, is the product of this intersection between science, philosophy, and spirituality. This Cortona Week is a summer school. We emphasize very much the word school. It's a summer school in the sense that there are teachers with high professionality as teachers and students. The main mission of the Cortona Week is to forge a new generation of class leaders. That sounds a little bombastic, but this is really what we believe in. There are always many causes or many aspects connected to any problem you take. take the disequality in the world between rich and poor and the corresponding migrations, and then the consequence destabilization of democracy, and then the consequent arising of dictatorship in certain, it's all always interlocked. And what we need in our leaders is the capability of seeing this multiplicity.
When you say the opening of the mind and the opening of a heart for a student, let's, do you have an example? For example, for now you've been doing this over 30 years. Yeah, Cotona yeah. Week is over 30 years. Do you have an example of a student, for example, coming from like a hardcore science, coming to Cotona, and then what kind of feedback do you get?
We have a lot of feedback, and many are saying that for them Cortona has been the most important event of their life. This sentence is recurrent, and we have example of a 45 years old engineer who changed his life and began to study medicine, and you know, this kind of not always so dramatic change, but certainly people who come to Cortona learn a kind of new cleanness of life.
Luigi, it sounds like a fascinating body of work, bringing all these people together. But I actually would love to talk a little bit about your initial endeavor that you talked about, what is life? You know, it's a very bold and grand question that started your career. You know, what is life? And it seems like you've moved through a process of discovering life as a web of systems, right? About interconnections. Could you speak a little bit to what your wisdom is personally about this lifelong endeavor to discover what is life?
Yes, you know, there are many levels at which you can tackle this question, you know. And I am in the group of people with Maturana and Varela, Francisco Varela, who are combining the notion of life with the notion of autopoiesis, which is a very particular way of interpreting biological life. And to me, the question, what is life, when I talk to my students, I explain life in terms of science, in terms of chemistry, metabolism, and this kind of... However, there is also a kind of question about what is life, which I usually do not discuss, or I don't open the discussion on that with my students. And this is the question, is life only chemistry? Because you see, what we do in science, and I've done that for many years, is to try to synthesize in the laboratory the minimal cells, so a kind of synthetic cells which contains all the components, the minimal amount of which allows life. Nobody has been able to do that in a lab yet. But the concern and the attempt of all biochemists today is still that is possible to make a living cell by simply putting together the right amount of molecular components. And this is the basic assumption of science today. And in my old age, I begin to have doubts that this is correct. Although, you know, I keep a scientific approach to it. I don't invoke God or something magic to explain life. You can do that all in terms of science, but it's not necessarily simple as putting together some chemicals in the right amount and hopla, then you have, you know. I remember very briefly, I gave a series of lectures once in Bhutan to in a Buddhist monastery to nuns. And at a certain point, and this 2-week lecture, with the permission of their director, I showed them the conception, you know, how the embryo, you know, become a fetus, and all the mechanism by which the chromosome mix together and the fetus. And I even show a birth, when many of these young and older nuns were crying or clapping hands. It was a very touching moment. And then it was all over, and I thought it was a good lecture. And then one of these young nuns came to me and said, "Yes, professor, but tell me, how is a baby born?" And I, for the moment, I say, "Oh God," that she didn't understand anything. I have to repeat all of that. And then something doomed in me. And I understood that she was right, because you can explain, you know, all what you want with chromosomes and with spermatozoa, and then you see the face of a newborn smiling, and you say, "God, how this came about?" And that there is this fringe, this very, very difficult contact point between science and the spirituality, between matter and life, which is something that scientists shunt, you know, don't like. And either they assume a very scientific view, is only matter and molecules, they get together and make life. Or there is the God view, which you know, doesn't teach us anything. And either you have faith or not. If you don't have it, you don't. Still, the question, what is life? It's a very open and very difficult questions. And I'm, you know, at this very age, after 80 of age, if somebody asks what is life, I say, "Oh, I don't know really," you know, at a certain level.
Interesting. I mean, I know there's a lot of people who hypothesize about chaos theory, that life is the nexus between order and no order. You know, I'm sure you've read about all these different physicists that speak about complexity theory and the way life evolves. But it sounds to me your life work has been a lot about expanding this inquiry across dimensions, like not just a scientific, but an artistic and a philosophical and a moral perspective of life. And if we all had that wealth of underpinnings in our knowledge base and our experience, what kind of world would we have? What would it look like if everyone had the kind of specificity that you're talking about, this expertise, but also this open mind, informed by other experiences? What would it bring to us as a society?
Well, I see it in the following way, that our world now, it's going towards a catastrophe. in terms of ecology, in terms also of another thing we don't talk much, which is the, you know, the machines, the artificial intelligence, which is also a kind of perspective which is not going to do any particular good when machine will replace humans in most of their function. So the point is that we humans in this particular period are going towards an abyss, and this taking possession, this opening of mind, this awareness, of course, is not the solution to this problem, but at least is the basis on which you can begin to form an alternative and see a possibility of salvation. Let's use this word. I'm very pessimistic as a scientist concerning the future of our globes in terms of ecology, in terms of politics. I don't see any great light in front of us, and the only little light I see is in the hope that the new generation of world leaders be more enlightened, and at least they stop the greedy tension and the game of powers, and in a society which is more for peace and harmony, maybe there is the hope of a better world.
That kind of opening represents a kind of a shift in value, a shift in perspective. What are the characteristics of the kind of leader that could carry us forward to peace and harmony?
Well, let's let's begin to say that humans are not very peaceful animals. They're carnivore. They're done. They're created in a certain way to fight with each other. Men are very weak animals without teeth, without nails, and they survived millions of years only thanks to the capability of killing animals and killing the others.
Is that all natural or instinctual, or is that a programmed thing? In other words, if you look at society, there's also been a lot of collaboration and cooperation to create things like democracy and farming and sophisticated systems that serve society. So obviously there's two parts of the human nature. One is the killing part, the greedy power part. And then there's this other part that continues to organize and collaborate, and it's almost like we have split personalities. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. That's what you gave is the definition of man, of human. This kind of being in the middle between the angel and the demon. And we are animals which are a little, have this difference with respect to the chimpanzee, that we are able to think that we are thinking. We are aware of our presence, and we feel the responsibility of what we are doing, which chimpanzee and gorilla don't do. But other than that, we are still the product of our instinct. We survive this. We are around in the earth since 6 million years about, and we survive thanks to fighting and killing. Wars. Never been a year without war in all this.
Luigi, we have a lot of material. It's been really lovely to talk to you, and I wish we could dive into more, like one of those evening filling conversations with limoncello on the beach in Italy.
Yeah.
My final question to you, Luigi, is there anything you explained us the vision you have for Cortona as the sort of, let's say, the practical project you kind of gave birth to, you created, you stewarded for so many decades already. What is there anything you would really love to bring out or say, or what's your message to the world or to the maybe to the students who may be listening, being interested in coming to Cortona or the next Cortona, hopefully next year, as this year was cancelled through because of COVID. I think it's taking place next year in June in Italy again. What's your like message from your heart?
Well, there are two things. One, you know, not direct to the students, but to direct to people like Branko Weiss, who is the one whom we have to thank because of the Cortona Week. Because my idea alone, without the financial support of philanthropists, would have brought to nothing. And this is also the you know, the sad reality that without financial help, you don't do things like Cortona. I mentioned before that for me, the utopia would be 1,000 of Cortona all around the world, and that would cost, you know, 100 times $70,000, which is a lot of money, but again, is a drop of water for many millionaire or billionaire. And this is one strong message I would like to bring. There are many ways to spend money, but to think of the class of world leader for the future is probably one of the best way you can think of spending money for. And the other is to the young people to keep coming to Cortona, because that's really a unique experience for their life, and we are waiting full-hearted for them to come under all circumstances. And we are waiting for you too, Steffi and Jörg.
We'll be there.
Oh, thanks.
Ciao, ciao.
I find it fascinating that Luigi, after studying life, still feels pessimistic about humanity. And I was kind of wanting to ask him deeper questions about that. You know, the devil on one side and the angel on the other. Why can't we just increase the angel and reduce the devil a little bit through education or more Cortona meetings? What do you think?
I think this is the reason why he loves Cortona so much, because he's seen a real change in people coming to the week, connecting with other people from all different, no matter what religion, race, or even domain you came from. So it's not just biology students, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a crisscross spectrum of all kinds of domains and all kinds of people coming to this week. And he's seen a real change within people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is where his hopes is.
Yeah, so he is passionate in that sense, so that is belies his... what do you call it? Pessimism. So he's actually an optimist. He's actually an optimist. Or he wouldn't keep running Cortona.
I wonder why he still calls it school, though, because it is, in a way, what Cortona is a kind of an unschooling of our school system. Cortona is made for more or less the academic world. It's because I think Luigi is addressing this very specific problem as he's explaining that within academia we've become so specialized and only focus on our little problem, so to say. And in the Cortona space, what I, for example, also experienced in Cortona is there's a drumming session with a drummer, and he's been drumming, I think, 20, 30 years, and this is all he does in life is drumming. Next to a highly decorated, honored professor, you know, written a lot of books, and you know, students just glad to be in the same room with him. And then so the two just meet in the garden and drum and create a wonderful relationship, and everyone can chime in. And it is really that the drummer actually gives as much to this honored academic mind as much as the academic mind gives the drummer. And that's the beauty within that space.
Yeah, so that comes on two levels. One is to have the courage to engage in conversations you might not have a PhD in, right? That you have some thinking about, or you have some opinions that might spark a new kind of conversation. And then the other flip side of it is, if you're an expert, to be willing and open to speaking or hearing from people who are not cut of the same cloth. And I do think we silo academics in particular so harshly that it really limits the kinds of interdisciplinary conversations that he's talking about. And they're really growth opportunities.
What scares me a bit is that, you know, the time we need in order to form, or that these new kind of leaders are formed. And Luigi's way to see that the sort of this new leader has to have that multiple view, or at least understand the multiple viewpoint. Doesn't need to be an expert, but at least needs to understand. And currently in our leadership, in a worldwide leadership, we don't see that at all, right? Like, how many more generations do we need in order to form these kind of leaders that they are old enough to be able to elect it, to actually come to power, to transform?
Well, this is, I actually am a true believer in instant transformation. I do believe that people can transform instantly. And even this idea that people have to come into power is hearkening back to a very traditional system of leadership. And what if all of a sudden everyone felt quite empowered to participate in their local, you know, economy, in their local neighborhood, how to transform the systems that operate on their everyday lives? It could be a very immediate transformation, just like how the virus has transformed our lives in a second, right? In a day, we were, you know, out bustling on the streets, and the next day we're home and changing our whole economic behavior. That could happen, but it's going to take a special recipe somehow. And part of what Luigi has to offer, I think, is part of that special recipe.
This is actually getting out of the box as the only way how we can solve these interconnected problems. Mm-hmm. And that's not just by someone who needs to go to university, it's literally everyone around the globe.
Yeah, 100%. We can grow and learn and transform from the acts and thoughts of all people.
The Cortona Week normally takes place in June every year. For more information, go to www.cortonafriends.org. We're an independent, listener-supported podcast.
Thanks to our producer, Riley Paul.
Support us by rating this episode and sharing with all your friends.
And to learn more, join us at potofgold.world.
I'm Stephanie Overbach.
And I'm Mel Wymore. Thanks for listening.